All right. Welcome back. This is week three. This is my story. Leanne kicked this thing off for us a couple weeks ago. And in it, you guys had the opportunity to kind of go back and start thinking about your life and your story and why that was important. And so you guys did some worksheets. You kind of dug into your past a bit. She shared with you the significance of that. Then last week, she wrapped up that portion of it, and then I stepped in and started talking about the plot line of your life. I'm going to pick up and do that again. Let me hit a couple things by quick review that we said that kind of helps you understand this. We understand that God has a story for all of us. And so I explained to you last week that if using the metaphor of story to understand your spiritual journey, this becomes significant in asking that first question of transformation. Am I willing to take an honest look at myself? I've told you time and time again, most people are not. I believe that you can't really take an honest look at yourself until you're willing to really look at your life to determine where you are. Your story becomes part of that. So this is a part of your transformational journey. Think of it this way. The story is what happens. The plot is how it happens. And using this metaphor that we're kind of using right now, if your life being a story, God has a story for each one of us. He invites us, because of His love, to help plot out the plot. He gives us choices. The free will that we have, His love for us, frees us to make choices and start connecting the dots of how it happens. And so we kind of introduced that last week, and we started talking about that. I said, if God is the author of our story, and He is, that freedom and the will and the choices that we have to kind of help map out that plot really is a gift from Him. I share with you, and again, this is kind of like literature class, but the plot is how the author arranges events to develop a basic idea. It's a sequence of events that drive the story forward. I mean, and if you're familiar at all with stories, we've talked about that, and this repeat from last week. We looked at the parts of a plot and basically talked about the fact that our lives move from one book, one plot line to another. Someone told me afterwards that you know, think of it as just different chapters. I mean, the chapter that you started with as a child is closed. That book is closed, however you want to think about it, you know, but this is a series. And so now you're in another chapter, another book, another season, if you will. This one will come to an end. You'll open up another one. I mean, that's the plot line of your life that's developing. For you to take a look at where you are spiritually right now, I mean, you become the product of all of those things. And that's how you evaluate where you are right now. Now, if you look back over the plot of your life and go, man, I look back, my life stunk. I mean, I got some dorks back there in my life. I mean, I'm not real proud of that, and I don't like that chapter, and that's okay. That's okay. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes or next week, depends on how far we get. That's all right. Don't panic over that. That's still a part of who you are, though. That became a part of your journey to get you here. If you look back and go, man, my life has been like a fairy tale. I love it. I mean, it's fantastic. I like to look back, and I like to just look there all the time. I would say, well, don't look back too long. You can't live in the past. It's just a part of what it took to get you here. This is about living forward. And so we started last week kind of breaking into the plot where the nitty-gritty comes, where you kind of roll up your sleeves and make decisions about how do you make sure that the plot works. In other words, if God has said, I have a story for you to live, but I love you, you're going to have some choices in this. You have responsibility. How do you make the plot work? And so this is where we started adding the ideas, or both the ideas if you're writing a story, but also making the jump back to some of the spiritual stuff that we do all the time. The first thing we said to make a plot work is you have to maintain structure. In other words, if your plot's going to stick together right, you've got to maintain the structure in it. This is back to our transformational model. Last week we talked about the pathway principle once again. Direction, not intention, gets you to your destination. You've got to make sure that you know or you have a direction that you're trying to take the story of your life to. More often than not, people don't have a plan. Christian people don't have a spiritual plan. You know what happens when they don't? They don't have a spiritual clue. And that means that every circumstance that comes along, every moment that comes along, just kind of bowls them over and they just get tossed to and fro. So, if you're developing a plot, you need to maintain structure. For us as followers, that plot line then really does come back to that transformational piece that is so essential, that there's a pathway principle. You've got to outline your life in such a way as to get somewhere. And you've got to outline your life in such a way and put your life together in such a way that you get to a destination that you really believe that God is taking you toward. Can God change that? You betcha. Can, Can God radically change it? He sure can. But you need to be moving in that direction. And that becomes the essential piece. And so we talked about that a lot last week. We also talked about, and this is what we were talking about when we left, that a good plot has cohesiveness and continuity. And when we were talking about that, I introduced this last week, and I said, you've got to maintain a cohesiveness and a continuity in your plot. In other words, you've got to make sure that your plot progresses appropriately. In other words, your storyline is staying together here. You're putting those things in your life, the pieces in place to kind of keep moving you forward. We tell you that you need to live forward. As I just said a minute ago, you don't look backwards too long. I mean, when we go back, we look at the beginning, your origin, that's part of your story, but you don't spend all your time that looking there. Because if you're not careful, you spend all your time looking backwards and you miss all the things that God has in front of you. You know people, I know people, maybe you are one of these people whose glory days are behind you. And when I say that, you've made the decision the glory days are behind you. But if you're talking about what is God doing in my life, and all you can do is think back on, you know, well, when I was a kid, I went to Ridgecrest, North Carolina, I had this mountaintop experience, and that was the greatest spiritual moment of my life. I got news for you. You probably weren't even smart enough as a teenager to know if it was a great spiritual moment or not. You were just sitting on a mountain, and I don't mean to minimize this because I did this for a lot of years. You're probably just standing on the mountain holding hands singing Kumbaya. I mean, or you're going visiting the prayer garden, which if you've ever been to Ridgecrest, hey, that's a good place to go. But, you know, that can't be the best. And God's best and God's next is always in front of you. And so when you're developing this plot of your life, this spiritual track that you're on, this story that God has for you, it's not over. And there's another page. And that's when you get up each and every day, you have a brand new day of things that God has set you apart to do. You have a brand new reason to live. You have a purpose, a passion. There needs to be a fire to your life that is a part of just this plot line that God is continuing to do. Your story continues all the way in. God has said, I have written out every day for you. He has a story that now you get to step into and you get to live out His story for your life. And so to keep the plot moving forward, you've got to make sure that there's some continuity in it and make sure that you're doing what needs to happen to keep moving you forward. Again, I think I used the illustration last week at this point where, you know, you step up and it's that pathway principle as part of it. But, you know, you're going to get to know God better this year, and that's going to happen in your life, and you're going to make that a priority in your life. All right. So is the plot that you're putting together, is it staying together? Is there some continuity in that? Is there cohesiveness in it? In other words, I mean, okay, so you're going to get to know Him better. You have a plan as you're reading the Bible. You've got a prayer time now in your life that's happening. And you're making sure that happens. Because it's not going to happen on top of what you always do. You're going to have to restructure your life in such a way that the plot moves this way. Remember when we did the prayer thing, when you got up the extra 10 minutes early to say, give God 10 more minutes a day. And at the end of the week, you're praying an extra hour. You've got to make the time to do that. Or what are you going to move out of your schedule to replace it with something else? In other words, if there's a plot line that's running through your life and you're going to be different, you've got to make sure that you're doing the things that kind of keep that moving forward. There's a cohesiveness to that, that there's no shortcut on. When you're writing a story, you have to do it. But when you're becoming that person that God has called you to be, you have to do it as well. Now, that's where we were last week. All that said, we've now reviewed, and it's almost 8 o'clock. All right, now, this is new, okay? Brand new. But very important anyway. Next, for a successful plot or to improve your plot, you have to select a point of view. You have to select a point of view. And I would say select a proper point of view. In developing a plot, if you're writing a novel, you've got to decide the proper point of view. So, example, if it's best described by having a first-person narrator, then so be it. Tell the tale. You need to decide whose point of view is this story going to be lived by. And you say, well, why is that important? Well, here's the deal. As a writer, I can tell you that it is very easy to let the point of view shift in a story. In a great story that you like reading, if you're a reader, the point of view doesn't shift. Or if it does shift, usually they do it with italics. I mean, there's a short little, you know, there's a short little jump where the point of view will shift. But for the most part, you know, it stays in place. I can't tell you how many times my editor sent me back notes. Point of view shift, point of view shift, point of view shift. Get it right, dummy. Get it right, dummy. Get it right, dummy. Where I had to come back and go back and say, I didn't even mean to do that. You know what that meant? As a writer, I was being sloppy. Let me tell you spiritually what it means. For followers, you hear this time and time again, and we're guilty of doing it time and time again. But we've got to learn and make a decision to live our life based on God's point of view, not ours. We have to learn to look at the world through a lens that comes from God, not ours. We say it this way around here all the time. It's not about what you think. It's about what He thinks. It's not about what you want. It's about what He wants. It's not about how you feel. It's about how He feels. That's all realigning your point of view. In other words, when we say it's not about you, but it's about God, live your life so it's about God, we're saying to you, select a point of view for the plot line of your life that works. And Christian folks all go, yes, 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 that's what I want. But just like a bad writer, we're kind of bad at following. And we let the point of view shift. So today I get up and I have a good day, and all day long I'm kind of looking at life through God with God's point of view, and I'm looking at everything spiritually, but tomorrow I didn't feel like it. So what am I doing? I'm living life like I want. And I'm turning it on and turning it off. Well, what happens to the plot line of your life when you do that? Well, one day you're on fire for God and you're doing stuff for God. The next day you're just wandering around behind little animals doing your thing. Next day, well, I'm going to be godly. Next day, nope, I'm going to wander out here to farm again. You know, I'm going to stay on path here. No, and I'm going to kick through poop again. I mean, it's just an ongoing kind of thing where we are all over the planet. And I'm not kidding you. This is one of the greatest struggles that followers have. They don't select the right point of view for their life. They decide that I know what's best for my life. Bull. You've never known what's best for your life. God knows what's best for your life. And so learning to look at your life from a godly perspective as God wants you to see it, that's what's going to get you to a life worth living. You say, well, that's hard to do. Of course it's hard to do. That's not natural for me. Well, of course it's not natural for you. This is not about what's natural for you. This is you making the decision to make sure that your plot, your story, is the story that God wants you to live. And so making sure that you have the right point of view matters. In your life, you must make a decision as to what point of view you're going to live your life by. It's a choice. It really is. And it really does end up with us making a decision as to whether or not we want to live the most compelling, the most creative and exciting adventure, or do you want to live your adventure? And when I say it's your adventure, I mean the adventure that you choose for yourself. I promise you that God's story is more compelling, more exciting. I promise you His story is bigger. I promise His story is better. Or do you want to live your existence based on your point of view? Because if you think about it, your point of view is pretty narrow, isn't it? Mine is. I mean, if I don't step back and try to see things from God's perspective, then it really does fall down to how I view the world. And without God, my worldview stinks. And my worldview is very narrow. My worldview doesn't have to go outside of these walls. My worldview doesn't have to go outside the corridor of 1792 that I'm going to drive down tonight. I mean, my worldview doesn't have to expand beyond any of that if it's all up to me. But if I'm going to keep my plot line working in a way that's going to honor God and develop the story that He has for me, then I've got to make sure that I keep the right point of view. And then here's what you find out. The more that you practice and the more that you keep working to keep the point of view right, it's easier to do. I mean, the more often that you work the discipline of your life of keeping God's point of view first and keeping your life lived through His point of view, it becomes easier. I can tell you, I'm two books into the journey now. I didn't have the point of view trouble this time. Now, the first time it was a beast. I mean, but, you know, I had an editor that kept working and kept working and the discipline of it. And you know what? It's like any other skill. If you're a writer, you can develop it. If you're a storyteller, you can develop it. You know what? If you're a follower, you can develop it. And the more that we follow, the better we're going to be. Which ties into the next thing as it relates to point of view. It's not only you have to select a proper point of view, but you have to maintain a proper point of view. You say, well, why are these different? Well, I'm going to tell you.
Because you have to select who's going to be the point of view you're going to live by. But then you have to make sure that you stay there. I know, and again, we'll go back to storytelling again. You want the point of view that's going to make sure that the plot keeps moving forward, and you want to pick in a story the point of view that's going to kind of make the plot the most exciting, the most free-flowing, the most pointed, quickest, succinct, that gets you to the next point of the story. In other words, you want to make sure your point of view is correct, and you want to make sure you maintain that. A story can be confusing if you don't. Remember I said a minute ago, if you keep shifting back and forth, you start living all over the place, you start wandering behind little animals, you're back on track. What happens is that stories get very twisted and confusing if you don't make sure that you're maintaining that proper point of view every day. That happens for us as followers through the daily discipline that we have, and we talked about this before. You know, what do you do? And I know it sounds churchy, but it's the mechanics of living this life for God. I mean, you're going to spend time with Him, you're going to talk with Him, you're going to praise Him, you're going to celebrate Him, you're going to connect with the family of God. I mean, all those things that we've said time and time again are so essential, they are essential in making sure your story works. It is a maintenance thing. You have to constantly be doing it. I had an editor tell me the reason that I had such trouble with point of view is because, one, I was inexperienced, and two, I was careless. For us as followers, we are easily confused about point of view when we're new to this following Jesus. You show me someone that's a new follower, a new Christian, someone that's just trying to get it, that inexperience shows up. It's hard for them to learn. And so they have to really work at that. But for people who have been following a long time, our point of view shifts because we're inexperienced. I mean, we're careless. Not inexperienced, we're careless. We know what we ought to do. I mean, is there anybody in this room that doesn't know what they ought to be doing each day when it comes to a relationship with God? Anyone want to crawl up on the altar and tell us how bad you blew it this week already? Crawl on. We all do it, yeah. I mean, we all do it, yeah. This is that moment where it becomes simple but very complicated at the same time. We know what to do. And so these are not overly complicated, but they're essential to making the plot work so we live the story that God has for us. We have to decide. You make a choice. You're going to live God's life, God's way. You're going to live your way. And if you choose God, then you got to maintain that proper point of view by doing things daily to make sure that discipline stays in place and it works. Does that make sense so far? All right. I'm starting to move because I want to cover a few more things. All right. Next piece is, don't be afraid to revise your plot development. Remember, the plot is how it happens. The story is what happens. The plot is how it happens. So, keep in mind, it's very rare that a writer will get it right the first time when it comes to the plot of a story or novel. Therefore, a typical writer will go through multiple drafts to make sure the plot itself is in the best possible form. Again, I can tell you from experience in novels, the ones that you've read, if you've read them, and if you have, I appreciate that. My children thank you as well, are very different than the very first story that came out. I mean, I know that in the room, Leanne has read them. She read them in the rough draft form, you know, and she can tell you how radically different they are and how much better they are when they finally come out with a cover on them, with artwork on the cover. They're a lot better than they were. That's part of it. You revise it. You're constantly looking at it. You're not afraid to change it. And here's why. We live our stories, our life stories, in real time. And if we are wise and serious about living out the story God has for us, if you're serious about this, you're constantly revising, improving, and enhancing your stories. Here's why. Because the more you know God and the more you desire to know God, the more you begin to see. If you keep your point of view right, the more you begin to discover. The more you begin to understand, the richer and more brilliant the story can become. And there are a lot of times that you might have to do a major overhaul of your story. See, because if you go back and you think about, okay, you know, where I started from, you know, umpteen years ago, and I look back at my past and I'm like, and you say, I don't like that at all. Well, you know what you've done? You've revised your plot line. You've gone back and you've made some major overhauls. You've gone back and you've looked at it and you've worked at it and you've made some shifts along the way. And that's good news. That's good news. We're constantly doing that. And when I say this, I say this kind of with a shrug. Oh my gosh, you know, I know people at churches in this community that are no different today than they were 20 years ago. And when I say that, that's not a compliment. I'm not saying they're the same old, same old. I'm saying they ain't grown a lick. They ain't any smarter. They're not any deeper. And God hadn't done nothing in their life in the last 20 years that they've noticed. They've not done anything to revise and enrich that plot that God has them living out in their life. Anything but. They might as well be laying in a plot. Because they ain't done anything. I mean, they're dying. They just don't know they're dead yet. When they're dead, they just don't know. You know what I mean? A good writer would have said it better. They're already dead. They just don't know it yet. That's what I was looking for. You know, they've already staked out their plot. I mean, it is, and that's tragic. That's tragic. I mean, you know, some of you guys have been on this journey here a long, long time. And if you haven't been, you can ask anybody who was here day one. Day one, when I started, although I had a lot more hair that was darker, and I had a lot of ideas and a lot of opinions, but, you know, I have revised the plot of my life significantly. When we started, I didn't even know what I didn't know. Now I know a lot of what I didn't know. And you know what I can tell you? I still don't know what I don't know. But I'm smart enough to recognize that it's out there somewhere, and I'm going to find out what it is. I've had to revise that plot line of my life. Part of it comes with age, but you know what? Part of it is being willing to listen to God and try to be that person He wants you to be and gain that wisdom, not the same old stuff. Again, and it's not just spiritual. I mean, you know people who haven't changed a lick because they just don't want to change. The tragedy of it, and part of the problem we're going to look at when we look at the story on Sunday, you know, God's love is out there, and His love is going to hold you. His love never lets you go. We looked at that last week, but you know what? You've got to decide that you want to change when that love's holding on to you. I mean, anybody that's ever worked with, discipled, and tried to pour their life into the people, you know, there is a peace that you cannot force no matter what. You can't make someone want to change. And if you're someone who does disciple or try to pour your life into others, that is frustrating as all get out. I mean, there's a lot of people I just want to bang upside the head and say, do you not get it yet, moron? French for moron. And you know, you want to do that. But you know, the sage wisdom of Ralph Dixon keeps coming back to me and echoes in my ear over and over again, as I told you last week. But it's really simple. You know, he said, Jeff, you cannot make Jesus love people like you want him to.
Maybe
you
love Jesus the way you want
him
to.
What?
You can't make people love Jesus.
What did I say?
You can't.
And there's a lot of depth in that too, but I won't offend you now. Let me go back and say it again. Yeah. No wonder I couldn't pay attention to him. I never listened. You can't make people love Jesus. Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. Yes. I was thinking dyslexic. You know.
That was a test, right?
Yeah. Huh? Yeah, I've stuck where Berman was going to the Pohai last week instead of the IHOP. I mean, it's just one of those I'm backwards. It's all messed up still. But you know, and you can't make them. You can't make someone want to change. I mean, how often is it you step back from someone, you look at their life is kind of trash, it's in shambles, and you go, well, this is it. They've hit bottom. They're going to finally see it and go, okay, you know, it's got to be different. And you watch them, and they get up and they dust themselves off. They just go doing right back the same thing they did before. And you think, you're dumb. Because you're going to try to do the same thing and expect different results. That is the definition of craziness. You're going to do the same thing again and again and think the results are going to be different. Now, while it can be amusing to watch, if you have that vein, the reality is, man, that's tough. You've got to make a conscious choice that I'm trying to live God's story, and that means, by nature, the more I know and the more I understand about God, I am going to be constantly revising my plot. I'm not accountable for what I don't know. But there comes a moment when I begin to understand and that light bulb goes on, and you know what's going to happen in that moment? I have to make a conscious choice and I'm going to change and start living my life differently because of that. Now, if I'm not aware of the fact that there are people who have needs around me, you know what? I'm not really responsible for meeting any of those needs. But when the day comes when I do become aware of that, then all of a sudden I become accountable to God for how I live my life. And I have to make a choice. Am I going to revise my plot and start living differently or not? And see, people sit in church all the time, and they just start tuning me out when I start talking about stuff they don't want to hear. I was talking about it Sunday, and they nod their heads at me. So if I look at them, they'll think they're with me. And like I told you, I'm smart now. I go, they ain't got it. Nod your head means nothing. And you may have to overhaul your story, and that's okay. Some of you have looked back at your past and said, along the line, I figured out I needed a major overhaul. I needed to blow it up. Great. And the good part about that is you still needed those first chapters to get you to the major overhaul. Fantastic. And you got it. And that looking back doesn't hurt you at that point, because that was just a part of your journey. And that will help you. That helps make you better. Which brings me to the last thing we'll talk about tonight, and we'll go as far as we can go. Which is always going to happen, but there comes a time when you have to edit the plot. You have to edit the plot as well. And this is where you start connecting back again to the top here, where you start making sure that the story, the what's happening, lines up with exactly what God wants. In other words, you need to edit the plot. The problem is that if you're the writer and you're working on your plot line, you need someone else to look in that and help you do that. That's where God steps back into the mix for you. God becomes the editor of your life. In literature world, you've got to make sure of a lot of things when it comes to plot. You've got to make sure that it flows correctly in an interesting fashion. You've got to make sure that you're taking the time to put the time in to look at it closely. But you come to a moment in life where you have to relinquish and trust that the editor of your life is going to do the work. And that's where God starts moving in and says, okay, this is what you're doing. These are the directions you're going. This is what you're trying to do. And I see the story you've got developing here. I see how you're working your plot and trying to put all these pieces in place. Let me clean this up just a little bit for you. And the Holy Spirit begins chiseling and working and slicing and dicing and doing what needs to happen, because you're moving in the right direction. And God becomes that editor. And what happens in our life is God says, let me fix this and see what this looks like. And then the cool thing about it is, because we're involved in this, this is a dialogue, a conversation you have going with God. God asks you, how's this look? What's this look like? Can you connect these dots? And sometimes we can, sometimes we can. So we start trying to do something again with our plot, and God goes, no, let's come back over here and let's do this again. And God begins working and tweaking and making some things happen. That's what editors do. And God serves and fills that role in your life as editor of this plot line that you work so hard to develop, that He loves you enough to let you run with, that He loves you enough to let you play with. But God becomes the editor again to make sure that story that you're living really does line up with what He wants. That's where the circle comes full circle. Again, and I'll use this as illustration because I can use it. It's still pretty fresh in my head. But if you've read Key to the Kingdom, and I mention this as a shameless plug because we're recording this. Yes, yes, yes. I heard Leanne mention it first week as a shameless plug and realized that she probably was talking off mic going, whatever. Anyway, no, she wouldn't do that. But if you've read it, it's the blue one out there. It did not start like the book starts today. I know. I've never written a novel before. I just did what I thought I was supposed to do. I've read lots of novels. Why, you know, and I, you know, when the novel idea comes, you just go, well, I've read lots of them. Any idea is going to work here. Any idiot can do this. I can do it too, you know. And so I kind of started off with that. But when I shipped it off, I met, for the first time, editors. This was a new experience for me. They took the book, and I didn't hear from them for a long, long time. And so I would write them and call them. Hey, you got the book manuscript. How are we doing that? Oh, we love it. It's a great book. It's going to be great. It's going to be a hit. We're going to do great. Well, when will I hear from the editor? Soon. Well, what are they doing? They're reading the whole thing. They're just looking at the whole thing. They're looking at the whole story before they get back. Oh, okay. So the first call I got from the editor, do not know this woman, that I've met this woman, her name is Susan. And I may tell her to listen to this, because I will let her correct me again. If I'm wrong, she'll edit. Her first words was, "Hey, Jeff, I love the story. Thank you so much." And I expected her to say, "You know, it is the most brilliant book I've ever read in my life, and I think that this is destined to be a bestseller." She didn't. She said, "You need to lose the first four chapters." What? You need to lose the first four chapters. And I think I said something along the lines of, "What? I love those chapters." She said, "Well, I'm sure you do." She said, but you do not need them. And I went back and I said, "Oh, let me look at that. I'll get back with you." Okay. In those first four chapters of Key of the Kingdom, I introduced all the main characters. I gave the characters background stories of how they were connected. It was loaded with stuff that I thought was witty dialogue. It took place out at the Primetime Cafe at Hollywood Studios. The first line of the book was, "Get your elbows off the table." And if you've ever eaten there, you know that the waiters and waitresses are all cousins. And what they'll do, if you're sitting there and you're eating meals, you pop your elbows on the table, they'll come by and yell at you like you're at a family dinner. "Get your elbows off the table." That was the first line of the book. I thought, what a witty way to start the book. Anybody that's ever been to Disney will love that. It's awesome. It's going to be good. And it was fun facts and trivia loaded in those first four chapters. I mean, it was essential stuff. And I called back and I said, "You know, I like my first four chapters a lot." And the editor said, "No, no, no." And I said, "What's the problem?" And they said, "Well, it will be better if all this essential information that you've got here gets woven into the plot later. But for now, let's do something that gets the story started and get the reader into this thing." And I said, "Well, I'm looking at chapter 4. Chapter 4 puts Grayson Hawks in the car heading to the coast of Florida looking for Snow White's cottage." She goes, "That's where we want to start." "There?" She goes, "Yeah." I said, "And all that other stuff?" She goes, "Bye. Bye, bye, bye." She says, I'll fix it for you and send it back." And she sent me my file back minus the first four chapters. Everything else was renumbered. Chapter 1 now was a car ride heading to the beach, kind of like you're seeing it in the final copy. And so if you look at your life, you think about your story, and you go back and look at the worksheet of where you've come from, and you've looked at it and you thought, "Man, there really were some losers that I've had to overcome. I mean, I got some real bad elements that I want to forget. I got some junk that I want people to know about my life story, and I don't care to relive." Good. That was the point of going back to look at your story. Because those people and those places and those events, what you want to forget and what you want to eliminate, they're still part of who you are. They're part of your background. They're part of your story. And you need to remember that the good news is that God is a perfect editor. And so the moment in your life when you chose to live your life with His point of view, He will start helping edit and eliminate and clean up that background and past. And as a result, you don't have to dwell on it. You don't even have to think about it very often. Other than doing an exercise like we did week one, you don't have to go back and unpack that. But here's the deal. The life lessons that you learned, God has reintroduced in your plot line at other places that have kept you on track. And all that essential information from the past, He's kept weaving it in and out of your story time and time again to keep the plot moving forward. See, my editor said, "Look, those four chapters are going to go bye-bye, or we got a problem." Of course, I didn't know what I was doing anyway, so I wasn't going to fight too much on this one. I'm like, "Okay, we'll get rid of the first four chapters." And you know what I found in the months ahead, that all that information wasn't as essential as I thought, but some of it was. And you know, I found other ways to get it in my story where it made better sense. And it didn't overwhelm the story, but it kept driving the story forward. See, that's what God does with all that junk and crap in your background. Some of those chapters that you hate to look at and you just go, "Man, I just don't want to go look back at that stuff because it was awful." God takes that and uses that information to move you forward. And that becomes essential for you fleshing out the story that He has for you, because it doesn't happen by accident. It didn't happen in a vacuum, and God knew all about it. That's the way our life works. And so that's what God does in your life. That's why we had you go back first week instead of go back and look. Those moments and those characters that were there, that are there, they're essential to who you are, even if they're not so good. There are moments in your life when you draw from those decisions, and the decisions that you made, good and bad, come back, and you build on those to make better decisions that keep driving your plot line today forward. How you choose to give out that info in your life,
How you choose to let others see it or not see it, that's really up to you. But trust me when I tell you, Leanne talked that first week about the external story that a lot of us care about, but that internal story that sometimes we ignore. That information helps drive that internal story of your life, and that holy editor that's working and always chiseling at you is using that to make you better than you ever have been without it. You need that. And you need to trust God to do that work. Now, that's when you start editing the plot, but God steps back in and does the work. Now, we've used the metaphor of stories. Does that make sense at all? Because when you start looking at your life, you've got to decide, you know, what is it going to be and how do I keep on God's story? So next week, we're going to look at the tough part of this thing, because when I think about the story that God has for me, and I look at the big picture, I keep thinking, you know, but God is so big and He's so majestic, and I mean, what, you know, what He has is too big and it's too grand and it's overwhelming, and I can't even begin to imagine what He might want to do with me. I have enough trouble just getting through each day. We're going to take a look and see how we start kind of filtering that back in so we become the most effective storytellers with our life that we can. And that helps us then, again, answer honestly that first question. This is where I am spiritually. This is where I need to go next. And so that's where we're going to pick up. Okay? Everybody good with that? All right. Let's pray, and then we'll get out of here, go get your kids, and go home. God, we thank You that You are and always have been the author of the story. And as we step into living life and start messing with the plot, when we're willing to trust, You come back behind us and You edit with a gentle touch and sometimes a not so gentle touch. Sometimes we lop off entire chapters, and other times we find that You're just tweaking a bit. But all of it is designed to keep us telling the story that You have for us in the world around us. And so, God, once again, we're grateful for that, even though it doesn't always feel real good, and sometimes we haven't really been thankful for it. We are grateful for it because we want to make sure that in our lives the point of view is always Yours, not ours. If we can learn that, if we can live our lives this way, then we become radically different people. And so, Lord, for that, we say thanks. And we ask that You would help us each day to do those things that need to happen in our lives to keep the plot line moving forward in a way that honors You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.